First things first, I would like to give credit where credit is due. And as I mentioned earlier in the opening, John O'Donohue is my co-author today. And his Celtic philosophy, the fact that he was a great poet, is not lost on me. No, his words and wisdom are all present and have been warmly woven into the tapestry of this talk. Secondly, a little background on the origin story for today's topic. When it happened that I volunteered to speak at this service today, it also happened that the choirs offering music had already been selected, River and Judea. And it also happened to be Earth Day, so the theme was already on the book, so to speak. And I have to say, I was both excited and a little bit anxious. Excited for the theme of rivers, as my love of John O'Donohue's beautiful musings, so poetic, surrounding rivers, have been nothing short of life-changing for me. And you'll be hearing more about that later. Stick with me. That combined with my Greek deep roots in Celtic spirituality, which teaches that universal truths are transmitted through rivers, and they hold wisdom and stories for us all. Well, all of that was exciting. The anxious part was surrounding the theme of Earth Day, as I felt it called for a more scientific perspective. And if you're looking for spirituality, I might be that girl, but if you're looking for science, that's not me. But I would love to speak about Earth Day from a spiritual perspective. So as John O'Donohue guides our journey, we open with his understanding that rivers are not solely matter, nor merely nature. Rather, they provide luminosity. They hold a secret and silent memory, a narrative and residence, where nothing is ever lost or forgotten. And we, like the rivers, also hold a memory that preceded our scientific minds, a life of its own before it took its present form. Regardless of how modern we seem, we are all ancient still. We are brothers and sisters with the earth, the rivers, and each other. I told you he had some great musings, right? So, not an easy task to follow that insightful perspective, but at least I can offer a heartfelt few words, and at worst, we'll see what happens. What I'd like to offer today isn't an Earth Day story about how we save the rivers, but instead, it's an Earth Day story about how the rivers save us. As the environmentalist David Suzuki has said, just as rivers are shapeshifters eternally transforming due to their environment, they take on that shape. We too also transform due to our environment and our circumstances. We shapeshift just like the rivers. Personally, I've observed that out of all the different shapes that we take on throughout our lifetimes, there is one shape that is most difficult to transmute. And that is when our flow is significantly altered or stopped. That dam that blocks us, our journey, those are the difficult shapes that we pass through. And during those times, that if we lose our connection to the symbolism and wisdom of the river, that our connection to a deeper meaning is also lost. Drawing upon the wisdom of the flowing river and observing how its damming of sorts or blocking has lessons for us all. I can share how I learned from a blocking of sorts. I learned that what the river has to teach us, and when we believe we have been cut off from its source, where we go from there. So with most stories, a little context is required, and typically when I start a talk, I start with my beginning, but I promise not to stay there very long. My beginning was a while back. Started out pretty basic with three kids, two parents, one dog, and one rather unhinged grandmother who lived in the attic. So I know, kind of strange. She actually had an attic apartment, to be real. But if you say attic, it kind of perks everybody's ears up, like, well, that's really strange. It kind of is a tension release, right? For me, too. And from that beginning, a humble beginning, we kind of move forward and we jump ahead to midlife, where the three of us kids had grown up, raised families of our own, married, had children, sometimes in that order, sometimes not, sometimes married, sometimes not, sometimes adding babies, stepkids along the way. Very, very different from the 1950s family Maybe Father knows best. A few of us remember that. That's pretty much how my parents expected life to go for us. But it was the 60s and 70s after all, and it was really much more like a late night soap opera. Maybe like Knott's Landing if you were there for the 70s. And at the very worst, Married with Children. So there are stories to be told. That's another service. Nonetheless, we were all flowing down the same river, reveling in a culture that was changing by the minute. And regardless of the modern families we birthed along the way, we had the best of times. Birthdays, holidays, marriages, and babies, they were all celebrated with great joy and great celebration. So much fun. Sunday park days turned into evening barbecues, typically filled with spirits, meaning beer and wine. And before the evening was done, there was always dancing. So much dancing. Actually, boot scooting was what we were up to songs like The Late Night Benediction at the Y'all Come Back Saloon, or Elvira. If you've never danced to Elvira, you really should try it. It is just so, it's pure joy. It's pure joy. So, riding the river of life that we had and that we shared together, it was the only life I knew. It's how my life unfolded. Challenges came along, happy times, good times, sad times, but always the river was there to carry me. And you know, when you're carried by a river that you're not even aware of, you never really give it a lot of thought. It's always there, it's always constant, and it's always carrying you. It all happens naturally. That is until, in this case, my family begins to narrow and diminish. And as I know, probably everyone sitting here has had a family shift its shape at some point in time, right? Kids go off to college, sometimes they move away, most of them move away, sometimes they get married, they start families of their own. A smaller version of family was happening. We were diminishing, we were narrowing from the big parties that took place, right, and shaping into something new and different. More permanent times, or later, more permanent changes started to take place. Parts of the river began to disappear altogether, as happens with life, right? It was my unhinged grandmother was the first to pass, and then my in-laws, and then along the way, my dad first, followed by my mom. It's sad, but it's not unexpected when the older generation passes away. Or family members move away and start new lives. Kind of sad, but it's kind of to be expected. My river was shape-shifting, but it was kind of happening naturally. Maybe not as vibrant, maybe not as many late-night benedictions or parties, but it was still okay. We still felt good. Little did I realize, though, that bigger changes lay ahead. And as I have found out, there are some forces, changes in the environment, that even a healthy river cannot absorb. So when a healthy river is artificially dammed, and its flow is significantly altered, in some cases stopped altogether, that it changes everything, including what you thought to be your life source. When my life was artificially dammed, and its flow was significantly altered, it led to a variety of changes and impacts. So I'm going to tread lightly here, but we'll get through it. The one shift that my family as life source that couldn't sustain was my husband's lengthy illness, followed by his passing 4 years later. To say that was different is a massive understatement. It completely stopped the flow of my river out of its source, cut it off at its source, leaving me feeling like my life itself had been dammed, like an actual dam had been built. The life I knew disappeared, and then a few short months later, when I needed to take a break from work, that just reinforced the dam. That only served to reinforce the dam for me. A few more months, and my sister, who had been living with me, moved across country. To tell you the truth, the dam was complete. The river was completely dry at that point. And for a long time, I believed in the dam more than in the power, wisdom, or endurance of the river. But then, as the story goes, one day I came across a poem, which sounds rather ethereal, right? So I'll be honest with you. One day as I was doom scrolling through Facebook, looking for another reason to crawl under the covers, I came across a poem. Simple and short, but rooted in my much beloved Celtic spirituality. It spoke of the flow of a river, a flow that represented a transitional journey where its wisdom could carry and surprise me if I just opened up to the possibility. It was John O'Donohue's poem, of course, Fluent. It's called Fluent, the same one that we read in the opening call to worship. And it goes like this. It's short enough, I can repeat it. I would love to live life like the river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. But in all honesty, when I came across that poem, unfolding didn't seem possible. There was nothing left to unfold. I didn't have the energy to get up and do something, but I did long to be carried again. So I opened ever so slightly to the possibility of another type of river, another type of life source. And again, to keep it real here, it was more like one of those deals you make with God. God, if you deliver a river to me directly, so I can recognize it, I don't have to do anything, and I have a choice as to whether or not I decide to jump in, that's fine. I was in no mood to Pollyanna my way through this. No brave heroine story here. This was much more like faith of the size of a mustard seed, at most, and non-existent at least. So the next day I was listening to a random podcast, and lo and behold, another river story comes about, this time in the form of a song. On the podcast, they played the song Wade Into the Water, which has kind of a funny little side note because Anthony actually recommended that song for this service and didn't realize what the service was about or that song had such meaning for me. Coincidence? Maybe. Nonetheless, for me, this song spoke to taking a first step, wading into the water and letting God take care of what I could not. Was God delivering the river I asked for? Maybe. So I took that thought and I thought, at this point, what do I have to lose? And somewhat simultaneously, I thought, so what, who cares? There's not a lot of enthusiasm here, not yet. And for the first time ever, I stepped into a new river. And for the first time ever, I stepped into that river alone. Yeah. I took my bruises, my scars, my successes, and my failures, and cracked open the very smallest of liminal spaces, open to some sort of transformation. And ironically, it was right around Earth Day 2023 that this began unfolding. What are the chances, right? What a coincidence. So when a friend invited me to Earth Day a couple of years back, it seemed like a good thing, no commitment on my part, nothing I had to do. So I ventured out to my first Earth Day. And actually, technically, to be transparent, again, it was my second Earth Day, as the first one was in April of 1970. Some of you might remember the first Earth Day. I was there too, but that's another talk for another time. The 1970s were different, right? But I digress. Back to Earth Day 2023. I stopped by a few booths, chatted with a few people, and then I came across another kind of booth, where I met some of the kindest people ever and the kindest duo ever. And I have collaborated this with Barbara and Gordon, two beloved members of this UU family, and confirmed that they were the dynamic yet soft-spoken duo who were in the booth that day. And they gave me a button or a pin, and hold on, and it simply said, be kind. And hold on, the story goes on. What I didn't know at that time, but have come to understand, is that Barbara and Gordon, without any of us realizing it, they were part of a deeper current. Or as John O'Donohue might more eloquently say it, because the symbolism of the river informs us that rivers are liminal spaces where one world gives away to another, a river is never fixed, but it's always becoming. These are sacred crossings where seeds of transformation are planted, where the deepest of currents never stop flowing and unfolding. That simple booth at an Earth Day event became a sacred crossing where a seed of transformation was planted for me. So that same current that John spoke of had me set this button on my desk And it led me to pick it up a year later. Obviously, I am a slow learner. It took me a year to pick up the pen, but stick with me. There's hope. When I held it in my hand, I remembered the dynamic duo that I spoke with that day, remembering that they spoke of justice, peace, compassion, and love, and they were just so very kind. Side note, luckily, some very wise person at Chalice printed the URL on the pin, so I could actually find where in the world these people came from. Don't know who it was, but thank you very much. Where? Who was it? Who did it? Thank you very much. So a year after my second Earth Day, I walked through Chalice UU's doors and was certainly surprised by what unfolded. The river's deep current greeted me once again, only this time in the form of a couple of Sharons, a Jill, a Reverend Nika, and they warmly welcomed me. And since that day, so many of you have become tributaries that have fed my fledgling river in the form of New Deep Friendships, the Moonflower Women's Group, the worship team, all joined in a confluence, a beautiful flow of interconnectedness. You know, as I wrote this talk, or as I really should say, as it wrote itself, I found myself wondering, was this all just a string of very strange coincidences? Was it faith the size of a mustard seed? Maybe. Was this what it would be like to live life metaphorically as a river flows, being carried by the surprise of its own unfolding? My worldview, my Celtic ancestry, the symbolism of the river, and even John O'Donohue led me to the following conclusion. My family was a strong life source, but it wasn't the source. What I now know for sure is that for me, there is one immutable life source, much deeper than family, much deeper than circumstances, that somehow I was already interconnected with. Which when I opened up to its possibility, people, a community, rushed in like new tributaries. And as these new waters began to heal me, I found the energy to give back, and a beautiful interdependence was birthed. This is really just, yes. No, wait, it's falling off. Well, you know, that's the story. Thank you so much. Oh, I hear it now. Thank you. Okay, I'll hold on. Okay. This is really just one example of, I sound so much louder. I should have noticed that, I'm sorry. This is really just one example of the many ways our UU community heals one another by doing what we do, being kind, carrying each other, most of the time without even realizing it. We're healing each other, and we're healing ourselves as we mirror the river. So in the end, as I promised in my opening, this wasn't a story about an Earth Day story about how we can save the rivers. It was an Earth Day story about how the river saves us. We need our rivers for obvious reasons, for their life-giving waters, but we also need them for the life-giving, sustaining lessons that show us how to flow again, how to care for one another, how to carry others with a flow of community. So I'd like to close with a few paraphrased words from the choir song, River in Judea. All I know is that there is a river in Judea, that I first knew it in another form, what feels like very long ago, and that my soul cried out to know it again, and when I opened it, it flowed. Thank you.